On his informative daily podcasts, Ron Van Dam likes to ask the big questions.
What is it about other excrement that you find on the ground that you find so fascinating?
True, some of the questions are more important than others, but someone has to ask them. Here's the guy that does. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, what are you doing here?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. As a gift to you, I'm waiving the $100 service fee. So this particular show will be absolutely free of charge. You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me into your home. You have no idea what you've done. Now, I'm not saying this is a show just for adults. What I'm saying is it's a show just for adults. So if you have children, first of all, I'm so sorry. Secondly, go have them do something. Go clean their rooms or something, or wax the floor. Something that's useful to you. And tell them to come back pretty soon. We'll be done. But in the meantime, I don't know if I want to influence kids this way. I could be a wonderful parent, but not to your children. That's your thing. I didn't ask you to drink an entire gallon of cheap wine. This is what happens. Thank you. That'll be quite enough. Thank you. That'll be quite enough. Thanks for joining me here. If you weren't able to figure this out, the show is not normal. I don't do things normally. I don't introduce people and talk to them. Well, actually, I do. Hey, happy Memorial Day to you. I don't know what's so happy about it, but... happy Memorial Day? It's kind of weird. This is where we honor those that have moved on to another place, quote unquote, no such thing, but whatever. Thank you to everybody that has protected this country and everybody who wanted to. And thank you to first responders. You got there first. I couldn't do this without you. Certainly I could not. And, those loved ones that have, gone somewhere else, we remember them and in memoriam. So that's my serious part of the show. From here, it all goes downhill. Anyway, this is the first real warm kind of holiday that we're having during this particular social experiment that happened in February and still goes on to some extent, to a great extent. I see light at the end of the tunnel, but the tunnel got a little bit longer than I thought it would be. That is a tunnel analogy is what you call that. Very popular in marketing ploys and things like that. Anyway, people are getting outside and enjoying the outdoors in a loud, obnoxious manner, but at the same time getting outside and enjoying. And that always involves food, which is my favorite subject. Not only do I like to eat food, I love to talk about it because it makes my mouth water and saliva actually drips from the corner of my mouth. It's not pretty, but it's satisfying. So, it's the holiday thereof for hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken on the grill. It's grill stuff. It's a grill thing. But the problem is that it involves other people a lot. And you have to limit the amount of people and where they've been. So it makes it a fascinating situation. But still, man, kick back and enjoy. And I'll tell you, it's the first introduction of the warm season for me to my good old friend, the hot dog. Oh, what a pal the hot dog is. Somebody in Germany invented this thing, probably, although it could be in China. Everything starts in China, and then other countries take the credit for it. But Frankfurters, hot dogs, bratwurst, you name it, it's a big German tradition. It's basically stuffing meat into skin. It's just, pig skin or whatever it is. It's stuffing your meat. And the only satisfying thing about hot dogs and sausages is watching ladies do this. It's just an odd-looking thing because the sausage itself looks like, you know, this is why the kids shouldn't be here. I warned you to begin with. So I don't know if we like sausages and hot dogs for that reason. I think it's why. Why we enjoy Kentucky Fried Chicken. Chicken's fine, but why do we enjoy Kentucky Fried Chicken? It's a death wish. We all want to die quickly. So you eat a lot of Kentucky Fried Chicken, and, you know, eventually you got your wish. Hot dogs are the same thing. They are death wishes on a stick. They are not good in any way, shape, or form. Many have nitrates in them. Now they're starting to make them without nitrates. What the hell's a nitrate do? I don't know, but it doesn't sound good. Preservatives, nitrates, just shoving meat into skin, which is basically what we're doing in the long run. It's the condiments that make the hot dog fantastic. We make contests out of it. It represents ball games. It's hot dogs are just an American piece of crap that we all enjoy. It's sodium heaven. So every year, as we introduce the hot dog back into our society, and we shove them into our mouths with great glee, sometimes on a bun, sometimes not, sometimes with sauerkraut, yes, mustard, ketchup, you name it, fried onions, that's where I go, man, that's where I'm going. It's the hot dog legacy. Let's delve into the hot dog.
There's nothing more American than a hot dog.
You bet.
And this summer, we will eat over 23 million hot dogs. Ooh. In Major League ballparks alone.
I'm full.
That's enough to stretch coast to coast from Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles to Camden Yards in Baltimore. But did you know hot dogs, also called Frankfurters, were first created using pork in Frankfurt, Germany in 1852?
I thought so.
And hot dog champion Joey Jaws Chestnut set his world record in 2009 eating 68 hot dogs in just 10 minutes.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah. But on average, an adult in the United States consumes 70 hot dogs a year.
Ooh.
So maybe it's about time you learn what the heck is actually in all those hot dogs.
Yeah, let's find out.
The most popular hot dogs are either made from beef, pork, or both, mm-hmm. fat, and lots of it, salt. Check out how many words start with sodium on that label.
Yeah, everything.
And lots of chemicals.
Yeah, I know.
Hot dogs are prepared commercially in huge vats, where rapidly moving blades grind and mix these ingredients with spices. This mixture is then forced through tubes into casings for cooking. Now, most hot dogs you purchase at the store are pre-cooked and they're ready to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But people tend to boil, grill, or microwave them at home.
Yeah, when I'm hot.
And we all know that dogs aren't considered a diet food, obviously. But how unhealthy are they?
Bad.
Well, despite the first ingredient being meat, hot dogs are not a great source of protein.
No
in
kidding.
Fact, one typical hot dog only has the equivalent of this measly 3/4 ounce piece of lean steak.
Ugh.
Each hot dog is about 250 calories. 70 to 80% of those calories are pure fat. And that's before you even consider any of the toppings. Now, like other processed meats, hot dogs are loaded with sodium, which we know raises our blood pressure. A 2010 study conducted by researchers at Harvard found that eating one serving a day of processed meat, the equivalent of one single hot dog, has been linked to a 42% increased risk in heart disease and a 19% increased risk for diabetes.
Oh, great.
So does this mean that you have to go cold turkey on hot dogs?
Yes, it does.
If you're a Francophile, you don't need to take this to the total extreme and never eat another hot dog ever again.
What do I do?
But my advice is to save them for those special occasions at the ballpark when it's part of the experience. Mm-hmm. You don't want to make hot dogs regular features in your grocery cart or staples in your kids' diet.
Uh-uh.
And when you do treat yourself to hot dogs, try looking for brands that are lower in fat and sodium.
That's hard.
Now that you know what the heck you're eating, proceed with caution.
Wow. That's not good. Not good.
Hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. What kind of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Step right up.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on racks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs kids eat day or night.
Sad kids, funny kids, kids who fly a kite. Big kids, little kids, kids who like to fight. Love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
The dogs kids love to fight.
When man bites dog, that's news, they say. But when kids bite dogs, they yell.
Hooray for hot dogs.
Disgusting. Just disgusting. Peddling hot dogs of death upon little kids through advertising. It just is disgusting. What I do with my hot dogs is pretty much none of your business. What are we talking about? I like them on the grill, but at the same time, I think the healthiest way of eating a hot dog is boiling it in water and using the skinless hot dogs, where if you boil it in water, the fat will leak out to some extent into that water, and then you get rid of the water and you've got a hot dog that's a little bit more lean than not. But like the lady said to begin with, and I don't know her name and I don't know who she is and I don't know how she got in my house, and I didn't ask questions. She, like the lady said, like limit it to special occasions. And that, of course, and she mentioned ballparks, and everybody knows people go to ballparks to get sick. I mean, we all know that, right? It's not so bad that you got to eat that sodium nitrate packed piece of crap in a bun. Then you got to sit there and watch a nine guys stand on the field, scratch their crotch, spit on the ground, and if a ball comes near them, run toward it a little bit and pick it up and throw it. That's the American pastime. Mm-hmm. And as if that wasn't enough, you throw a beer into the mix because you don't want a whole, you don't want like 10,000 people drinking like tequila sunrises or something. There'd be a lot of fights. Beer is kind of like palatable, and it's like a soft drink because it's carbonated. I mean, it doesn't fool anybody, but it's like a soft drink. But what else are you going to do? I mean, the game is boring. The food sucks and costs like $3,000 for each hot dog. So you might as well have a beer and try to forget it all. I would assume that ballparks are very dangerous places to be health-wise. And so is your backyard. And then we move to potato salad and coleslaw and that kind of thing, especially potato salad. In the hot weather, and I don't know what part of the country you live in or if you even live in this country, but if you let potato salad sit out in the sun for even like half an hour, all kinds of stuff can start going wrong. And then you eat it and it sits in your stomach and says, okay, now we're going to kill you. It's like, it's a cavalcade of foods that will kill you. And if we can't kill you, we'll make you quite sick and make believe we're killing you. Don't let salads and things sit out in the sun, especially with mayonnaise and creams and all that kind of crap. Just eat the potato chips, which also have sodium in them and can also add to your sodium dilemma and your heart disease and your diabetes, and your penis will fall off. And if you're a guy, it's even worse. It's just really a horrible thing. just try to eat healthy. But no one goes to a backyard barbecue and says, I'll have the Cobb salad. It just doesn't work like that. I'll tell you a very quick story, and it's going to be quite quick because I can't stand this any longer than you can. I went to a relative's house, not a direct relative, but a relative through connections. And he was quite the barbecue smoker chef. I mean, he even had a business on the side for smoking meat. And I never thought through when I was younger that I thought I would eat meat, maybe broil meat, smoke it. How do you roll that? I mean, like, do you get high from smoking meat? No, Ron, you put it in one of those barbecue smoker things. His meat, so to speak, was delightful. It was as tasty as hell. I mean, it was wonderful. But you've got to know when you're eating that stuff that it's, you know, it's full of smoky, sodium meaty stuff and fatty stuff. Fat tastes great. That's why they make lard. I don't want to go into a kitchen in a restaurant and find out what they're putting in my food, like just pouring tons of fat into it, because fat tastes great. It's God's strange way of saying, I'm going to tempt you from beginning to end. You better think this through. But it was great. And it was all kinds of smoked meats. There were porks and beefs and everything. It was like a display of fat. But a gorgeously tasty affair. And you add beer to it, and I start sucking on the canvas on the tent. I mean, I'm just eating everything in sight. There were no vegetables to be found, because if you found a vegetable, they would probably send you to hell because you don't belong here. You know, like, vegetables? Get out of here, you wussy piece of pansy. We're all meat here. Yeah, I mean, what an incredible chef, though. I mean, he was just great. But I just realized at that point, I can't eat. I just can't eat a lot of this. I can't. My stomach is turning around. I think I have all my organs, but I don't know. I can't remember if I had any removed at some point in my life. I've been alive for a long time. I can't be expected to remember everything. Like, if I have all my organs, I don't know. I still have my tonsils. Yeah, we've been through so much together, the tonsils and me. Never had my tonsils removed. No. I guess you don't need them. Otherwise, a lot of people wouldn't be here. But they remove tonsils. They remove gallbladders, too, I believe. I mean, they take things out of you. Apparently, you don't need all this stuff. And you don't need two of everything. I think one's just a backup, you know. Like owning a generator in case the power goes out. I think it's something like that. I don't know. All I've been saying for 20 minutes is just be careful. Enjoy the food and stuff, but just be careful and don't make it a habit. And then on top of it, you got to tolerate the people that you're eating with outside. But at least you're outside, you know. At least if somebody farts, it's not going to be tremendously awful. Maybe for a short period of time, but it's going to go somewhere else. You know, but in a room, if someone does that, yeah, no, then we have to have it fumigated. You got to leave. I got to move to another house. It just gets really ugly. So enjoy your time outside. Happy Memorial Day. Just be careful health-wise. Don't overdo it. And just make sure this has not become a habit. Like you eat a hot dog. You go, I'm going to have hot dogs every day. No, don't. Stay away from the sugars and the sodiums and the fats and everything that you enjoy. My guest joins us momentarily. Because it's also the time when people swim for the first time. Whether you have an in-ground pool, an above-ground pool, or just a little wading pool that the kids just dip their toes into, you be careful, because we have to be, you know, we're in a thing. We're going through a thing right now. And I got tons of questions about the thing that we're going through and whether swimming is safe. Even to go to a local pool, I don't think they're open yet. But you can do what you want in your backyard, but be careful about it. So let's talk to our guest about swimming pools and dipping your feet even in a wading pool little bucket of water. Is it safe? Let's find out. Hello, Bob.
Good morning.
Bob Vincent joins us now. He's a council member and has led the Florida Department of Health's Public Pools Program for over a decade. He's a member of the National Environmental Health Association, holds a Master of Public Administration from Florida State University, and he's going to answer some questions that are kind of on everybody's mind right now. We've got Memorial Day weekend coming up, and it's swimming pools. The public pools are pretty much closed for the most part around the country, but pools in the backyard or behind your house, above ground, below ground, it's a big question as to how safe they are, and there are many questions surrounding that. Pools usually mean a gathering of people, don't they?
Yes, they do, and therein lies one of the issues. You're absolutely right, Ron.
Yeah.
So we are dealing with an unprecedented public health crisis with this pandemic, and so this summer, more than ever, pool owners need to monitor their pool chemistry and keep their pools properly maintained. Likewise, for safety and everyone else's hygiene, you should shower before you go swimming. And we've seen with this survey that we've recently conducted that people still pee in the pool, surprisingly. We've had 30% of the people polled admitted to urinating in their pool.
Yeah.
This is the backyard pool, of course.
Gotcha.
But another fraction of the population has done that as an adult in the public pools as well.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you a cavalcade of questions here, Pop. Can the virus be transmitted through water?
Well, the CDC is the expert on that, and they have said there's no evidence that COVID-19 can be spread through pool water.
Mm-hmm.
That relies on the proper pool maintenance, which includes disinfecting the water with chlorine or bromine, and that should kill the virus.
Mm-hmm.
But then they go on to say that you've got to limit your close contact with people outside of your home and public spaces, both in and out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that aerosol transmission from human to human, coughs, sneeze, close talking, and then frequently touched surfaces that need to be dealt with. But the water itself, the chlorine, will take care of the virus.
Okay. What if you don't have a chlorine regular pool and you do this, what they call a saltwater pool? Are those, is that, I've heard about those. Are they the same composition?
Right. Well, saltwater pools are simply a different format for getting the chlorine in the water.
Okay.
You know, salt is made of sodium and chlorine, sodium chloride. And so the saltwater pool generator splits that molecule and it releases the chlorine into the pool. So you still have chlorine in your pool with a saltwater pool.
Mm-hmm. So it's not so much swimming in the pool itself, it's the activities around it, which usually include some type of a outdoor meal or sitting around in lounge chairs. And I guess that's really what we should focus on at this point.
Yes, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And those frequently touched surfaces could include the handrails. They could include the lounge chairs. If you're at a public pool. Now, if you're at home, there's a little less exposure there.
Sure. Well, if you have people over, I guess this weekend is a test of all of this because, you know, now there's the gatherings increase in size. What you do in your backyard, I guess, is up to you. You know, no one's going to run to your backyard and say, wait, there's too many people here. But you're right, the handrails and the touching of things, you're doing a communal kind of touching around the pool.
Well, we want the pool owners to know that they should be testing the chlorine level and the pH often.
Yeah.
We've also found with the survey that some of them are not storing their chemicals well.
Yeah.
You know, only about 30% have them locked up away from where children can get to them. Mm. So that's a hazard.
Mm.
Hygiene for yourself and your friends that come over, 50% said that they don't shower before they swim.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to do. Some people use their swimming pool as a bathtub, you know, after mowing the yard or working outdoors.
You jump in the pool.
You know, all of that sweat and dirt on you that goes into the pool is consuming the chlorine.
Yeah.
And you want that chlorine there to be as efficient as it can be and actively killing viruses and bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So the less debris and sweat and urine you put in the pool, the better water quality it is for you to safely swim.
Good point. Swimming is an activity that you overbreathe. You breathe a little bit more heavily. You pop up out of the water in places where other people are all of a sudden. There's a lot to think about this particular time around, hopefully, a temporary situation, but, the contact is more feasible in a pool than it would be sitting around it where you distinctly separated, I would assume.
Well, distancing, social distancing, physical distancing is something you need to think about while you're in the pool.
Yeah.
At home, if it's family, you're already exposed to them in the home. But if you have friends over,
that's it.
And certainly at a public pool, those are going to need to have some social distancing in place, both in the water and on the deck.
Okay. Is there a place, the most important what I got out of this is that the virus cannot be transmitted through water. I think that would be the major question that most people have. Distancing, still in effect, but that's good information. I'm not going to test it to any great degree, but I'll go with it to a certain extent. Where would I go for more information? Because some people have more specific questions, I would assume.
Sure. Well, the bottom line for the pool owners is that they need to be testing that chlorine and pH often.
Yes.
And so the Water Quality and Health Council that I'm a member of is offering free pool test kits.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on our webpage at healthypools.org. Healthypools.org has all of the articles that have been written by the council members for surface disinfection, for pools, for drinking water.
Good.
And then, of course, CDC has some great information as well, cdc.gov, and under their COVID-19 area, they've got information on public swimming pools and spas and how to best take care of them.
Okay.
They have pool chemical safety posters there, and they have guidelines for reopening pools. So all of that is useful information for the public.
Very good. The other thing I got out of your conversation here is that make sure your pool is properly maintained. There are some shortages and lines of people trying to get to pool supply places and are not able to get what they need, don't jump in the pool anyway. Make sure if you can't do it right, don't do it. I assume that's a similar message you would put out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mm.
And shop for the chlorine and the chemicals that you need as best you can get them. And as you said, with the COVID closure of many of the public pools, there may be some more opportunities for backyard pool owners to find those chemicals. Difficult situation. You're right.
Hopefully. Bob Vincent, thank you so much for your time today, and we appreciate the information. Well, there you go. There you have it. I hope that I have been of some use to you, like a can opener. I want to be your can opener. Where you have a can, there's no way to get into the food inside the can unless you have a can opener. I want to be your can opener. I want you to come to me and to this show whenever you need just a little bit of a pick-me-up or a put-me-down. Okay? Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. Oh, I've been there. I hear it. This is not my first rodeo. I went to a rodeo when I was 8 years old. My father took me, and we sat in the stands and we watched these guys, macho guys, sitting on the backs of bulls and horses that didn't want to be sat upon, apparently. And then they had these rodeo clowns. And when the bulls and the bucking horses, watch your language, would throw the cowboys, I think they were cowboys, off onto the ground, these clowns would run out, and they were the first responders. And I think I've talked about this on the show as well. I've never understood rodeos. Why in the world do the people that rescue those that are about to be trampled by a bull or a horse, why are they have to be dressed in clown makeup? Do they want their identities to be hidden? Are they going to squirt each other with seltzer? Are they going to slip on a banana peel? Not a good place to do that. I don't understand the clown thing. What do clowns have to do with macho guys writhing in pain on the ground after being bucked by a bull or a wild horse, and here comes a clown to save you? How embarrassing! Oh, I was almost trampled by this bronco that was about to take its hoof and smash my face. Well, how did you get out of it? A clown ran over and saved my life. Oh, are you doing drugs again? A clown ran over and saved... What the? God, are you sure the horse didn't actually hit you in the skull? Because that's ridiculous. Clowns don't run over. Oh, they do. All right, fine. It's one of the 10,000 things in life that I've never understood where that concept came from. Well, let's entertain everybody by having a clown run out and save the cowboy's life. Odd scenario that you've painted here. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Eat healthy, but be happy. I wish you peace.